Right. I'll be reading from the book of Matthew. For the Pew Bible, it will be page 982. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Judah, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judah," they replied, "for this is what the prophet had written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people of Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped Mother Mary. Then they opened their treasures and presented them with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Well, that children's story was for all of us, and it sets up our sermon for today. It's a little parable of profound truth about our relationship with God and our relationship with other people. And many of us have felt these kind of things, the agony of being excluded in school, at work, and in other places. And the thrill, for many of us, of being included, and sometimes the snobbery of being included. Our story today from the Gospel of Matthew is introducing us to the gospel. A radically new way to be. How outsiders become insiders. And those who are with God and those who are not yet with God. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a radically new way to be centered in Christ. Now Matthew, who is writing this account, talks about the Magi and about the star. And that these Magi were trying to seek out this new king. And this thoroughly Jewish writer, Matthew, likely had a verse in the Old Testament in the back of his mind when he wrote this. He said, a star in Numbers 24:17 says this, "A star shall come out of Jacob," or Israel, "and a scepter shall rise out of Israel." Though we don't know exactly what the star was, we know that the gospel writers were not making up some story to entertain some religious people. They were telling us real history. They were telling us about things that really happened. That God in his sovereign grace used a natural phenomenon to draw Magi from the east to embark on the search. And these people were thoughtful, intelligent people. They were observers of the stars and the planets. And they probably combined two disciplines that we keep very separate. And that was astronomy and astrology. And Matthew is going to tell us about what the gospel is all about. About who is this newborn king, Jesus, and how he can define our lives. Now what I find so amazing about this story that you've heard time and time again is this. That though the Magi were outsiders, there were no stars on their bellies. Though we remember their presence with warmth during Christmas and they're part of the manger scene, they were actually bad people. They were plain and simple idolaters. They worshiped a false god. They were plain and simple outsiders, according to the nation of Israel. And yet, these Magi, who were outsiders by race and profession and lifestyle, the least deserving of people to come to Jesus' birthday party, whether that was, depends on your interpretation, the second birthday, third, or fourth, show up. And this Matthew, the gospel writer, treats these people as heroes of the faith for showing up. Three times we are told that these outsiders came and worshiped Jesus, while the insiders, the religious leaders, and others, the scholars and the scribes, who knew all the right information, didn't worship Jesus, did not seek him. Now, this story, while we make it a nice story, is not really a nice story. It's a shocking, scandalous story that is so powerful, so life-altering, so exciting, and so new, and so inspiring. It's a great story to tell on the first Sunday of December of 2017. It's a story of the gospel in a nutshell. It's a story of grace. For outsiders, for sinners, for oddballs, for the undeserving, for irregular people, God chooses them and leads them and woes them. God used, which is amazing, God used the very thing that these men worshiped, a star, to lead them to Christ. Just think about God's mercy in this, to use idols to lead them to Christ. But should we be surprised? God is very creative. God is very good. He doesn't just use a star. The second thing he uses is he uses the Holy Scripture. God's word becomes a final authority, as religious leaders declare. You know, we have some promises in the Old Testament about where the Messiah is going to be born. We know something about this. And so they learn not just by a star, but by the Scripture. And ultimately, it is the Bible, and not just a natural phenomenon of a star, that leads these people to Christ. They were the first guest at the historic unveiling of his son, Jesus. See, the outsiders knew something. The ones who didn't have stars on their bellies but saw stars in the sky, they knew their need for mercy. And really, there's only two classifications for this. People who don't think they need mercy, and those who know they need mercy. And Jesus says, when he was born, he grew up, and we hear his stories, he says, I'm going after the people who know they need mercy. Now, there is a story in Africa from an anthropologist named Vincent Donovan. And Donovan studied the Maasai tribe, a very fierce, nomadic people who had resisted cultural changes and tried to maintain their cultural identity. And there was a Maasai man who would refuse to participate in any of the tribal gatherings, always standing off to the side and just watching. And Donovan noticed that. And so at one point, he walked up to this man and he said, how come you're not engaged in the community? How come you never participate? And the man replied, a while ago, I did something terrible that was a great offense to my community. The people had no way for me to get back into community. So I will be an outsider. I don't belong anymore. I'm not an insider. And I thought about that story, and I thought about stories that you could tell and that I could tell. We all know people who need an invitation to experience God's grace, especially when they messed up or they failed. You see, the first message of the gospel really is not good news, but bad news. It says that we're all excluded. We're all outsiders. We all don't have stars on our belly. None of us deserve to get in. That is the bad news of the gospel. And often when people read the book of Romans where it says we are enemies of Christ, they say, well, no, wait a minute. I'm not an enemy. But the good news of the gospel is that God provided a radical and new way and a loving way for us who are outsiders and rebels and fugitives from God's grace to get in. This new way is through the grace of Jesus Christ. To God, we're all like sneetches without stars. We're all outsiders. But Ephesians 2 says this, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away from being brought near through the blood of Christ." And the Maasai culture didn't have a way to get this man back inside their fellowship. And we hear that from an African standpoint, from this nomadic tribe. But maybe some of us wonder. Maybe we wonder, how do I get back in? Well, God has provided a way through Jesus. Ephesians says this, "It is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not by yourselves. You didn't do it. You can't figure out how to get back in. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." And then he says these wonderful words, "You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works." You're created to do good works, but the good works can't make you right with God. There's no condition to define you as unworthy or disqualified or excluded. See, today you might feel excluded. You might feel not worthy by some moral failure or persistent habitual sin you can't seem to overcome. You might feel defined by some experience of rejection in the past. But the gospel says, no, absolutely not. Don't let anything like that define you. Don't let your failures define who you are. Don't let what people say about you or talk about you define you. You're no longer a lost, excluded sinner. You are recipients of God's grace. And then the last thing in this passage is a warning to keep sharing grace. It's a warning against complacency. And we see that in the story in Matthew of the Magi. We see the religious leaders in the passage, the scholars, the ones who knew the Bible, the classic insiders who went around proudly with the stars on their bellies because they knew it all, and yet they did not seek Christ. These people quote scriptures. I'm sure they met to every time they had to go to church, they would go. But they didn't hunger or thirst. They didn't leave their place of security to travel and to worship Christ. You see, Matthew writes his gospel to a particular group of people, to those who have come out of Jewish backgrounds and have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. He was writing to the establishment of the early church. And I thought, well, you know, how easy is it for us? How easy for us to be part of that establishment, to be in the insider group who control the resources, who have all the knowledge, and we commit a terrible sin of taking Jesus and his grace for granted. And I think that's one of the things when the Magi came and traveled all that way, the outsiders came and they had to go and talk to insiders who had all the information and everything at their disposal. And they said, oh yeah, I remember, it's something about this. And these insiders, and I think about us at times, as just insiders, who we have all the knowledge, we have the Bible, it's all here, we can read it, we can understand it, and yet sometimes we just say, I'll take Jesus' grace for granted. You see, the pagans, the magi, the outsiders, the ones with no stars on their belly, they sought Jesus. They left their comfort and their security. They gave everything for this journey. Three times it says they paid homage to and worshiped Jesus. And they are filled with joy when they found Jesus. And meanwhile, the insiders, oh, I'm not going to put us over there with King Herod. No, I would not dare do that. But we are those who are insiders with our religious establishment and our political powers. And we're pastors, and we're scholars, and we're elders, and we're leaders of the church, and we're people in the pews, and we're insiders. And how many times do we seek him? I think Matthew wants us to see our potential for spiritual pride, for spiritual smugness, for complacency, for boredom, for coldness of heart, for going through the motions. These are common and chronic sins of the religious insiders. Now think about that. I think about insiders. I think about me as an insider. There's always two poles in our hearts when we encounter something that is truly bad or revolting. There's this pull of disgust, and there's the pull of mercy. The pull of disgust says this: ugh, that's ugly, that's wrong, that's morally repugnant. That thing that person is doing is wrong. You see, that's the pull we have of disgust, and that happens to us. Now, the Bible never tells us to banish that awareness from our heart. That's important. We should maintain an understanding of what is disgusting and revolting to God. And some things are really an abomination to God. There is real evil in this world. But at the same time, there is also this pull of mercy. The pull of mercy that shelters over the sinner. The mercy that sees someone naked and broken, and it puts a blanket over that person and comforts them. See, mercy longs to comfort the sinner and heal the brokenhearted. The insider's task, that's you and I, is not to lose sense of what is wrong, but to let mercy trump over it. And we see that as parents all the time, right? I mean, I see it in my own life as a parent. We face all these times with our children. We judge sometimes that their behavior is not very good and acceptable. And we always are talking to them and telling them that these things are not right. But no matter how many times you and I do that as a parent, one of the most important things is we show our unconditional love for our children. Yeah, judgment still has its rightful place, but mercy is even greater. That's what Jesus did. That's how he lived his life. When Jesus died on a cross, he didn't sweep our sin under the rug. He actually exposed it for how badly it really is. But then he bore it for us and covered our sin with his mercy. Now today, you may seem more like an outsider than an insider. You may have a star on your belly, or you may not have a star on your belly. You're not sure which one you are, what sneech you might fall into. If you're an outsider, maybe you need to understand the mercy of God and to break your heart open wide again for his mercy to come in. If you're an insider, maybe in this new year, your heart has become smug and proud and complacent. See, I think what this story, this Magi story about insiders and outsiders tell us is this: don't take grace for granted. It's a gift. The gift the Magi brought were gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they gave whatever they had. They didn't know that they were outsiders per se, and yet there they were coming to worship Jesus. And I thought, man, how much can we learn? How much can we learn from the Magi? How much can we learn from those who came, who were outsiders? And at that time when they came to see Jesus, with all the time and the energy and the expense and the searching through stars and whatever idol things they might worship, and then I might add with the scripture, They come. And we know that Jesus says, welcome. You have come home. That's pretty profound. You have come home. So whether you feel like an insider or whether you feel like an outsider, whether you feel like you have a star in your belly or you don't have one in your belly, don't take God's grace for granted. It's the gift that the Magi receive, and it's the gift that is given to outsiders and insiders alike. Happy New Year.